Blog Talk Radio.
People don't understand why we lift our hands and sing praises. And people can't comprehend that when we dance, we're not crazy. See, maybe they don't realize that sitting high is the Father. And this is what we were created for. Nothing less or more but to worship you. I just want to say that yours is the best love that I've ever had. I just want to say that I think it's only fair that we give it back. I love you. Mercies every day, and you still find room for more favor. I can't believe there ever was a time that I tried to hide who you were to me. But those days are long over now. I'll show it proud for all to see. I just wanna say that yours is the best love that I've ever had. I just wanna say that I think it's only fair that we give it back.
Guest today, I love you. I love that song. Man, I wish my voice was as clear as his. That was Jonathan McReynolds with I Love You. Now, if you want to hear more.
What do you think about Jesus?
Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, every minute of the day, give me Jesus, now give me Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, every minute of the day, give me Jesus, he's my reason for living, he's my source of survival.
Well. Good evening. Welcome to Light of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Hallelujah. And we are in for a ride tonight. So put your seatbelts on. Get in your car seat if you have to. Whatever you got to do, let's get ready for this broadcast tonight. And tonight we're going to be talking to husbands and wives, talking to people who are Christians, who are married, but got some stuff going on behind closed doors. Looks good on the outside, but on the inside, behind closed doors, is where the problems lie. And tonight we really want to talk about this because we want healing to come forth. I'm not claiming that everything's cool, you know, with me and perfect in my life, because everything's not perfect in my life. But one thing I do know is that when you turn things over to God the Father, you really turn them over to Him and take your hands off of it, He'll begin to set things in order. So if you are joining us on tonight and you're married, especially to someone in a fivefold ministry, and you want to be delivered or you need some healing in your marriage, maybe you're contemplating divorce. Maybe you're contemplating separation. Maybe you just don't know what you're contemplating. It's just not working out for you. Let's just go to prayer and go to the Word of God tonight and allow God to heal us. Allow God to deliver. But allow God to do what He wants to do. Let's not try to put God in a box. Let's not try to tell God, well, you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. Let's try to just let go and allow God to do what He wants to do. Because it's definitely Him that needs to get the glory in this. Amen. So let's just take a moment and pause and then listen to this song, and then we'll be right back. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties with this computer. All right. I'm having technical difficulties with this computer. The enemy is really a liar. He does not want this episode to go forth, but guess what? It's going to go forth anyway in the name of Jesus, and we are going to praise God for it anyway because He's truly worthy of the praise. Amen. So I don't know what's going on with the music part of it, but Jesus is Lord anyway. So let's just go and pray. I was looking for somebody else to join us before we went into prayer. But okay, they haven't arrived yet. I hear some commotion outside. Is why I'm pausing. I'm trying to make sure that's not inside where I live or what's going on. But anyway, we just want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to come before You and say thank You. We want to thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We want to thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your peace, and thank You for Your joy. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask You to forgive us for anything that we've said or done, Lord God, that was against Your will. We ask You to forgive us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we ask You to cleanse us, wash us, make us whole. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us not to look at our spouse, Lord God, but help us to look at ourselves. Whatever is in us, Lord God, pride, dishonesty, whatever it is, Lord God, we ask that You would move it in the name of Jesus. Show us ourselves, Lord God. Don't show me my husband. Don't show my husband me, Lord God. But show us ourselves, Lord God, and any fear and doubt and scars that we have in our hearts. We ask that You would remove them from us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Some of us are dealing with hurts from our past, from our childhood, from past relationships, from just life, Lord God. And we brought them into our current marriages. And, God, we just ask You to help us. We ask you to help us, bless us, keep us, Lord God. Heal us, deliver us, set us free, Lord God. Even set us free from our own self, our own thoughts, Lord God, our own self-destruction. We ask you to help us and set us free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just submit to you, Holy God. We just bow down before you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, in submission, asking you to help us, oh God, asking you to keep us, asking you to deliver us, asking you, God, to set us free, asking you to heal, Lord God, everything that needs to be healed, Lord God, the things that we've pushed down in the deep recesses of our minds, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you will bring that stuff out and deliver us, pull it out from the root and deliver us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father, for we stand in need of deliverance tonight. We stand in need of healing on tonight. And, Father, we know that, Lord, there are many who are contemplating divorce. And, Father, you know, we know that it's not your will that we divorce, oh God, and we understand, oh God, that we just need to love more. We need to love more. So, Father, help us to love more. Help us to see the best in our spouses. Help us but truly to be true to you, mighty God. Help us to be true to you, almighty God. Help us to be real with you, Lord God, so that we can be healed, so that we can be delivered, so that we can be set free, Lord God. Help us not to be whitewashed walls, Lord God, but help us to be real. Help us to be true to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, so you can help us, so you can heal us and deliver us, Father. This I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it being done right now, Lord God. I thank you for it being done right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you so much for it being done in Jesus' name. Lord, as we enter into Thanksgiving, Lord God, on tomorrow, we just want to thank you now for marriages being healed. We want to thank you now for those that are hurt in their marriages to be healed tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, I just say thank you for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, give us a new mind. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us to forgive any ought, any offense, Lord God, that we need to forgive our spouse of, Lord God. Whatever our spouse needs to forgive us for, help them to forgive us. Help us to forgive one another, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Help us to look at your word, Lord God, in the spirit. Help us to understand what your word is saying to us in the spirit. Help us to live by your word in the spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us today, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God. I pray for the fivefold ministry marriages. I pray for the marriages of the apostle, for the pastor, for the bishop, for the evangelist, Lord God, for the elders, Lord God. I pray for the marriages, Lord God, of the fivefold ministry, those, Lord God, that have churches, Lord God, that are leading other people. I pray for the marriages, Lord God, of the fivefold ministries, Lord God, that are being attacked, Lord God, and being threatened, Lord God. Well, I just pray for the marriages of the fivefold ministries, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, whether the pastor is the man or whether the pastor is the wife, however it's set up, I pray for the ministries of the fivefold that you will heal tonight, oh God, that you will heal tonight, Father God. That you will heal tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Father, I just say thank you for it being done right now, Lord God. Father, I say thank you, Lord God, where bitterness and strife is, oh God, I ask you to remove it. In the name of Jesus, oh God, where pride is, that's keeping each other from saying I'm sorry, from keeping each other from submitting, from keeping each other, Lord God, to just repent and turn away from the wickedness, oh God, I ask you to remove every ounce of pride. I ask you to remove every ounce of pride. I ask you to remove every ounce of high-mindedness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, where resentment is, I ask you to remove every ounce of resentment, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, where jealousy is, oh God, and strife and envy, Father, I ask you to move it, oh God, move it out, cleanse it, oh God, wash it away, God, by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God. And Father, I say thank you for it being done right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, I cry out to you, Lord God, because we stand in need of a healing, oh God. We stand in need of a healing, Lord God, in these marriages, oh God, that are dealing in the fivefold ministry, God. Father, the things that are going on behind closed doors, Lord God, the disrespect, Lord God, the lack of love, Lord God, the lack of compassion, Lord God. Oh, God, we ask you to forgive us all, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, help us, oh, God, to obey your word, oh, God. Help us to look at it as obeying you, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We trust you tonight, Lord God. We need you tonight, Lord God. We're calling on you tonight, oh, God, to heal us, oh, God, to deliver us tonight. Hallelujah, God, from our own mindsets, Lord God, from our own mindsets that are keeping us bound, from our own mindsets, oh, God, that are keeping us trapped, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. And we ask you, oh, God, to deliver us, Lord God, from every tactic, Lord God, every weapon that Satan has formed against these fivefold ministries, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will just deliver us, oh, God, because your word says, God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, your word also says what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What you have joined together, Lord God, hallelujah, with these fivefold ministries, what you have joined together, we just bind the spirit of divorce and separation. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of fornication and adultery. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, every lie that Satan has told to the spouses, oh, God, every lie that the spouses have believed, oh, God, we come against them, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against these marriages, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in these marriages, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we cast down imaginations and every hot thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And Father, we just thank you for that right now, God. We thank you that wives are obedient and submissive, oh God. We thank you that husbands love, nourish, and cherish their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Father God, that husbands and wives are submissive one to another. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that love, hallelujah, the agape love, hallelujah, rules in these marriages, Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. And Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you right now, Lord God. I just want to bless your name right now and thank you, Lord God, for every marriage that's going to be saved tonight, Lord God, for every relationship, Lord God, every marriage relationship that's going to be healed tonight, oh God. I just want to thank you for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Father, I say that every spirit that will prevent these people from coming tonight to hear your word, God, we bind and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father God, I ask you to send forth your angels, oh God, to send the men, Lord God, to hear the word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father God, if it be your will, and Father, those that are coming back to listening to the archives, oh God, we pray that they will be healed and delivered too, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to say thank you. I just want to bless your name, glory to God. I just want to give you praise and glory and honor, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing hearts. Thank you, Lord God, for seeing the secret tears. Thank you, Lord God, for seeing the secret pain. Thank you, God, for knowing everything, Lord God, about these marriages, Lord God, hallelujah, that needs to be known. Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I just give you praise for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, I say thank you, Lord God. Father, I say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bless your holy name, oh God. I bless your name, Lord God, for you alone are worthy. I thank you for healing marriages tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for changing mindsets tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for deliverance tonight. I thank you for repentance tonight, Lord God. I just thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That your will be done, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. For your word does say, how can two walk except they be agreed, Lord God? Help the husband and wife come together in unity, Lord God. Help them to come together and be agreed, Lord God, according to your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh God, we come against the spirit of intimidation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come against the spirit of fear, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, we come against the spirit of retaliation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And we say thank you, oh God. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God. Marvelous is your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Marvelous is your name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just thank you and bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Right now. Hallelujah. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I give you praise, Father. Hallelujah, God. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. And I bless your name. Hallelujah. For you alone are so worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, I bless your name, Lord God, hallelujah, I bless your name, hallelujah, hallelujah, I thank you, hallelujah, that everything that the enemy sent to destroy, Lord God, that you are restoring, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that everything the enemy sent to destroy, you are restoring it, oh God, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, and I just bless your name right now, God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, I give you praise, Lord God, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I just bless the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Because he is so worthy to be praised. I bless the name of the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God for that prayer tonight, hallelujah, because I didn't know what to pray, but and it wasn't scripted. I thank God that the Holy Ghost knows exactly what to pray because he knows exactly what we need when we need it. Glory to God, hallelujah. And the reason why we're doing this broadcast on tonight is because I've heard from several people that, you know, there's just problems going on in the marriage world with the fivefold ministry. It's just so many things going on right now. People are threatening divorce. I was there myself threatening and, you know, just going through some things. And I'm telling you, the enemy does not want what God has joined together to last. Satan wants to just throw in any kind of weapon he can to cause us to take our eyes off of God and to look at the problem. He wants us to look at our spouse instead of looking at God. But I can tell you one thing. When you take your eye off your spouse and you begin to look at God and begin to see what God says about situations, things will begin to change. Even if you don't see things changing in your spouse, you'll begin to see things changing in yourself. Hallelujah. Because that's what needs to happen. We need to change. A lot of times what happens is we'll look at our spouse and say X, Y, Z about our spouse, but what about us that we need to change as well? Glory to God. But guess what? Let me say this as a disclaimer. If you are in a marriage relationship, I don't care if it's fivefold ministry or not, if your spouse is putting their hands on you in a physical way and they're doing this and they're doing it to abuse you, to hurt you, and make sure that you are hurt and abused, get out of that relationship. Move away. I'm not telling you to divorce. I'm telling you to get out of harm's way. That's what I'm telling you. God did not make us to be punching bags, and this is for the female and the male. If the female is the abuser, man, you need to get out the way. If the male is the abuser, woman, you need to get out the way because God did not make either one of us to be punching bags. God did not make us to be abused. He didn't even make us to be verbally abused, but we know that that happens more often than physical abuse in the apostolic or the fivefold ministry marriages. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But, Father, we just thank you tonight for deliverance for those that are abusive with their hands, those that use objects to abuse their spouses. We just thank God for their deliverance tonight in the name of Jesus. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're not here to judge anybody. But we are here to give the word of God tonight in prayer. And we do want people to be healed tonight and delivered from whatever is going on. And I myself know that when a person is an abuser, 9 times out of 10 is because they were abused somewhere along the lines in their lives. Glory to God. I know that I was abused. In my life, I was verbally abused. I was physically abused. I was in homes where I saw the woman being the dominant partner in the relationship. So she took the lead role and was not submissive at all. So I witnessed those types of things in my life. And in some part of my life, that's what I became, the aggressive partner, the one who I got to have it my way. You know, it got to be Teresa's way or no way. Kind of thing, even to the minutest thing in my relationship. And I just thank God for how he's working things out and doing things according to his will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God wants us to be real on tonight. He wants us to be real, because if you're not real, how can you expect to be delivered? If you say, that's not me, well, I'm not an abuser, or even if you say, I'm not being abused, how do you expect God to come in and heal that if you're not even identifying that there is a problem or even admitting that there is a problem? We're not saying go around and confess evil or confess things that are bad, but we are saying that in order to be healed, you got to know that you need to be healed from something. You got to know that you need to be delivered from something, glory to God. So this is why we're doing the broadcast tonight, because there's so many people behind closed doors crying. So many people behind closed doors feeling like they're trapped. And women, let me say this. Women are not the only ones being abused. There are women abusing their husbands. There's husbands behind closed doors who are crying. There's wives who are the pastors, and they act one way in church, and they get home, and there's something else. There's husbands who are the pastors who act one way in church, and when they get home, there's somebody else. They're bipolar, or they got multiple personalities, or something is going on. And the church world thinks everything's hunky-dory. The church world thinks, oh, wow, they have just a perfect marriage, and they have this and that. And the wife, she's, you know, in church, she's clapping when her husband preaches, and she stands up when he's doing whatever he's doing on the pulpit or whatever. But when it's time to end the service and it's time to go home, she dreads to go home, because she knows when she gets there, it's going to be like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation. The other husband is going to come out. Not the one that's getting lauded and applauded in church, but the other one is going to come out. Glory to God. The other one who's abusive. The other one who doesn't know how to talk to you. The other one who doesn't know how to nourish you and cherish you. The other one who doesn't know how to love you as God said to love. Hallelujah. You're scared to go home because you know when you get there, it's going to be a whole different story. And even before you get there in the car, it's going to be something that ticks the person off to make them become their abusive alter ego. The abusive alter ego. Glory to God. But tonight we want to be delivered. We want to be set free. We want to be healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And guess what? It can't happen. Hallelujah. If you don't want it to happen. If you don't want to be healed. If you want everybody to continue to think that everything's okay. If you want everybody to continue to think that, you know, they have the perfect marriage. And let them think that if that's what you want them to think. But for yourself, you need to be healed. For yourself, you need to be delivered. For yourself, you need to repent and say, God, yes, my marriage is a mess, and Father, you know, I had a part in my marriage being a wreck, so I need you to forgive me, Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm willing to change me. But for those of you that don't have a part in it, you have just an abusive spouse, whether it's a woman or a man, you ask God to forgive your spouse. You ask God to help you to forgive your spouse, because we don't want to hold on to unforgiveness. We don't want to hold on to that. But God can deliver them too. God can bring them out too. Yes, he can. God can work it out if you let them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because remember, even though we see our spouses are here in the natural. We see them eye to eye. We see them face to face. We feel them hitting us, or as the abuser, we see ourselves hitting them, or whatever the case is, we are still fighting a spiritual battle. We might be dealing with it. The outcome might be natural, but we're dealing with a spiritual battle. We're dealing with the real enemy called the devil. We're dealing with the real enemy called Satan. We're dealing with the real enemy called the accuser of the brethren. We're dealing with a real enemy called the serpent. We're dealing with a real enemy that's called the divider. He's a divider, because if you're standing divided, you cannot come together in unity. So when the enemy wants to come in to divide and conquer. He wants to come in and destroy so that not only do you look bad, but want to bring a bad name on God. Oh, well, they look at them. They couldn't even be together. Now, listen, if you marry somebody and God didn't tell you to marry somebody, you need to talk to God about that, okay? If you just married somebody just because you just, oh, I felt like I just got to have him or her. I just got to have them. Yes, I just got to have them. And God gave you warning signs and you went on ahead and married them anyway. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about that. Okay, you pray about that, okay? If you in that relationship is abusive, you ask God about that. You ask God, does he want you to get out of that relationship? Because God does have a permissive will. He has a permissive will. He has a perfect will. He has we want to be in God's perfect will. We want to be in the will that he's pleased with, okay? We want to be in the will so that when we ask him to fix whatever it is that's going on, that he will fix it, that he will help us, that he will deliver us. That's where we want to be. We want to be in the middle of God's will, amen? That's where we want to be, glory to God, hallelujah. Whew. I need help over here, glory to God, hallelujah. I have the Holy Spirit's help, but I'm telling you, I'm over here hot burning up right about now. Because this is a subject that has touched myself, and this has touched some people that I know presently and in the past. Hallelujah. And we just want to be able to say, God, look, this situation is messed up. My wife is crazy. Well, stop speaking that your wife is crazy. My husband is crazy. Well, stop speaking that your husband is crazy. What you want from God is what you should be speaking from God. What I want from God is what I should be speaking from God. God, I want a holy man, not on the outside. I want a man holy through and through in his whole heart. But let me tell you something. If a man or a woman is really a really, really true woman of God and want to live right before God, they're going to do what they're supposed to do. They're going to lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets them. They're going to stop doing whatever it is that they're doing in order to please God. So you can't say, oh, well, I really am holy and running for Jesus. I really am living for God. I really am. If you're not obeying God, we got to check some things. We got to get some things in order if we're not obeying God. If we're not loving our spouse and respecting our spouse and submitting to our spouse like we're supposed to, I'm talking about in the fear of God. Now, you might say, well, my wife is, I can't nourish her and cherish her because she got this tough exterior, and I just really can't love her because she's not lovable. She's been through too much in her life, and I just don't feel like making an extra effort to love her. But guess what? Christ loved us. God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on Calvary for us. He loved us so much, even before we were born. He knew we were going to sin. He sent his son Jesus to die in our stead. That was a sacrifice. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to make a sacrifice. Well, your wife has a tough exterior. As long as you keep not loving her, as long as you keep not nourishing her and cherishing her, her exterior is still going to be tough. It's going to get even tougher because you're pushing her away and you're not nourishing her like she wants to be. Maybe it's going to take your act of love that's going to bring her out. Maybe it's going to take that nourishing that's going to bring her out. Maybe it's going to take that cherishing, that little that's going to bring her out. How do you know, old man, that it's not going to, you're not going to be the one to help bring her out? How do you know, old man, that you're not going to be the one to help her get her deliverance? How do you know this, old man of God? Why you up there preaching out there to the world and trying to save everybody else, but you can't even nourish and cherish your own wife, the one that you made a vow to with the Lord and said, Lord, I promise, I honor to nourish her and cherish her, but you want to save the world and you can't even save your own spouse. These are the kind of things that we're talking about. And to the wife, the word says submit to your own husband, to your own husband. You running around submitting to the pastor. If your husband is not the pastor and somebody else is the pastor, you running around submitting to them, doing what they say do, and can't even fix your husband a meal, can't even love your husband, can't even say a kind word to your husband, can't even be nice to your husband on any level because you're jealous that he's preaching in the church and everybody's giving him attention, so you're jealous. So when he get home, you make his life hell because you're jealous that he's giving attention to everybody else. Come on, let's be real. Let's get down to the nitty and the gritty. Let's go ahead and do this and just be real and get it over with and say, God, I need you. Whatever category you fit in, that's your category, okay? Don't worry about your spouse right now. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. Glory to God. Let's get us together and watch God do a transformation in the spouse. Watch God fix it. But see, we got to give God time to fix these things. We want God to do an abracadabra. We want God to do it now. I snapped my finger now. I want you to fix it now because I don't feel like going through that, God. I want you to fix it right now. I want you to do it right now. And if God don't do it right now, then we want to run. If God don't run, if he don't do it the way we tell God to do it, then we want to just throw up our hands and say, you know what, I'm out of here. But guess what? We got to submit to God. We got to submit to the word of God. We got to submit to the will of God. But see, it takes effort to do that. It takes effort to do that. That's all I know. That's all I know. I can't. Let me tell you something. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And guess what? For the record, I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself. I'm teaching myself. I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to minister to me. Yes, I am. I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to minister to me because guess what? I haven't made it to that other side yet. I haven't reached that perfection. I'm still fallible. I still make mistakes. Yeah, I do. I still do things that I'm not supposed to do. But guess what? God knows that. God sees that. God hears what I say. God hears me when I repent. He hears when I repent. He knows when I'm at a point where I'm so broken that I can't do anything else. I've been there. I've been to the point where I've been so broken, I just felt like I was just going to lose my very life. I've been to the point that I felt like I just wanted to lose my life. I've been to the point where I wanted somebody to just take me out of my misery. I've been to the point where I just wanted to go to the mental hospital and just say, you know what, admit me because I can't take life anymore. I've been to the point where I just wanted to say, you know what, I'm not trying this no more. It's just enough. I've had enough. I'm not dealing with this no more. I've been to the point, I've been to every one of those points, and then some. I've been there, but God. But God, God had to deliver me. God has to keep delivering me. God has to help me with my thoughts. God has to help me with my mouth. God has to help me with the things that I meditate on. God has to help me. He has to change my mindset. And he's doing that for me. This is why we're having this broadcast, because just like God is healing me and delivering me, I want God to heal you and deliver you. I want God to heal your spouse and deliver your spouse. Whatever it is that's going on, whatever excuse that we have to act the way that we're acting, it's time to give it up. It's time to give it up and say, God, I want to live for you. God, I want to be unspotted. I don't want to have any blemishes on me. God, I want you. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. And I'm telling you, God will come in. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, he will. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, he will. But you have to allow him. You have to give him that space. You have to say, God, my heart is hard towards my spouse right now. My heart is hard toward my spouse right now. You talk to God like you talk to your girlfriend. You talk to God like you talking to one of your dude friends. Look, God, this is how I feel right now. I can't stand my spouse. I can't stand him or her. They get on my nerves. God, I just don't want to be with them no more. They've done too much damage. God, I need you to look. And you know, if there's a tiny piece in your heart that says, you know what, I really do want to make this work, God can work with that. But you got to get to the point where you're going to let God work with that. If you really want God to work with that, Stephen, we got to make sure that we're asking God to change us too. We're asking God to help us too. We're asking God to heal us too. But let me tell you something. I was married before, and I tell you, when you're dealing with a spouse that is physical with you, that's not a good thing. When you're dealing with a spouse that will curse you out and call you all kind of names and sit there and act like you deserve it, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. And when you're a woman, or even whether you're a woman or a man, and you're in an abusive relationship, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn, you feel like you can't talk to anybody, you feel like you're in a prison, you feel like you're in a cage, you begin to start acting out, acting crazy, going, getting depressed. I'm telling you what I lived. Crazy. crazy. And that's where the enemy wants us to be. Satan wants us to be in that place so he can devour us. Satan wants us to be in that place. He wants us to be out of our right mind. He wants us to be in darkness. He wants us to be depressed. He wants us to be depraved. He wants us to take our Bibles and throw them across the room and not read them anymore. He wants us to blame God for the situation that we're in. He wants all of that to happen. But God is right there waiting for us. You think God don't see that abusive spouse? Mm-hmm. He sees it. You think God doesn't see that you're crying and nobody else sees you crying? Mm-hmm. He sees that. He sees every tear that you shed. He feels every pain that you feel. Every punch that you felt, God felt it. Every name that you've been called, God heard it. Every single time your husband has not nourished you and cherished you and you felt void and you felt unwanted and you felt unloved, God felt that. Every single time. Every single time, woman, that you haven't been submissive to your husband, God felt that. God sees that. God sees all of that. But God is here to restore. He's here to heal. He's here to deliver. He's here to set free. Yes, he is. That's what he's here for. He's here to help us. He's here. If we just call out to him, if we just cry out to him, if we just humble ourselves and say, God, I need you now. I need you right now. Not another minute, not another second, not another hour, not another day, but I need you now. I need you right away. I need you right now, God. I need you right now because if you don't step in and help me, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I need you right now. And you allow God to come in. You allow God to come in. You allow God to do spiritual surgery on you. You allow God to come in and start healing you. You allow God. Because one thing about God, he's not going to go back on his word. He's not going. His word is not going to return to him void. God's word, when he sends it out, is going to accomplish what it was sent out to do. And the Bible says when a man and a woman, they cleave to one another and they become one flesh, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. Adam and Eve became one flesh. Adam was the husband and Eve was the wife. God made the man before he made the woman. He made the man first, and he took woman from a rib. He took a rib from the man, and then he made the woman. And as women, we don't like that word submission. We don't like that word submission because we have the wrong idea as far as submission is concerned. Submission to me, you know, in my natural mind, would be like, no, I got to do everything he tell me to do. If he say jump, I got to say how high. If he say, get up right now and fix my food, I got to get up right now and fix his food. Those are the kind of things that we think of in our minds about submission. But submission is an act of love. Submission is that we have to submit to God in order for him to even come into our heart. We got to submit to his word and accept Jesus Christ. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We have to submit even to do that. We submit more than we know we submit, women and men. I bet you on your job you submit to your boss. You submit because you want something on the other side. You want that paycheck. Some people submit because they want recognition. But whatever the case is, we submit. We submit to the law. If the law says you're supposed to only drive a certain amount an hour unless you get a ticket, we submit to that. A lot of people do. A lot of people don't. So then they suffer the consequences of not submitting. We have to submit to whoever authority we're under. Even you got to submit to Satan. If you're letting Satan be your leader, then you even got to submit to Satan's will. But if we're born again, Satan is no longer our master. We're no longer slaves of sin. We're no longer slaves of unrighteousness. We now belong to God the Father, hallelujah, through faith in Jesus Christ. And submitting to our husband, submitting to one another, is an act of love. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's an act of love. The Bible tells the husband that he's supposed to love his wife as he loves himself. If a man is not loving his wife, he's not loving himself. How can you say that, Evangelist? Because that's what the word says. Because now, remember, those two have become one flesh. Now you have made me your wife. Now you're supposed to love me as you love yourself. You bathe yourself every day. You wash your teeth. You put on clean clothes. You feed yourself every day. When you're thirsty, you give yourself something to drink. You don't beat yourself up. And these are things that husbands are supposed to do to their wife. They're supposed to nourish their wife and cherish their wife. But a lot of times what happens is the husband wants the wife to be submissive unto them, and they're not giving their wife anything in return. They give more to the church than they give to their wives. They give more to the women in the church than they give to their wives. They give more to the people in the church than they give to their spouse. And when a spouse feels rejected, when a spouse feels unloved, you have a problem on your hands. Because the truth of the matter is, when a spouse who feels rejected and unloved, and they go out there and they commit adultery, even though they're not supposed to, you can kind of understand, well, they was looking for love, but you wasn't giving them any. That's not an excuse to go out and commit adultery. Not so. No, 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 no. We have no excuse to commit adultery. We have no excuse to cheat on our spouse. No excuse whatsoever. None. There is no excuse good enough to go out there and cheat on our spouse. None. Some spouses feel like they've just been abandoned. Some people that are married to apostles and bishops and pastors and evangelists, they feel like they've been abandoned by their spouse because their spouse is taking more attention and giving it to the church than they are to their spouse at home. They forget about you. Oh, Pastor, you preached so good today. Oh, that was a great word, Pastor. And you as a wife, you sitting back and you looking at these chicks running up to your husband, hugging up on your husband, and you could be standing right there. They don't... So they're doing all that in the church, and then when you get home, your husband don't want to talk to you, don't want to touch you, don't want to look at you, don't say boo to you, but want you to fix his food, have his bath water ready, have his clothes ironed, but at the same time, he's not giving you anything. He's giving it all to the people at the church house. This got to stop. This has got to stop. You think God's not going to hold us accountable for what we do? Do we believe that God's not going to hold us accountable for what we do? Yes, he will. God's going to hold us accountable for everything we do, whether it be good, whether it be bad. Everything we do, God's going to hold us accountable for it. But he's not going to hold us accountable for what our spouse does. They're going to be held accountable for what they do. So tonight is a wake-up call. Tonight is a wake-up call. We need to really remember that God is sovereign. He's almighty. He's beholding the evil and the good. He's looking. God is watching. God hears the prayers of the righteous. Yes, he does. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. But can I say this? If you're dealing with a spouse that is abusive, whether it's physical or whether it's verbal, mental abuse, I don't want you to pray those witchcraft prayers and say, God, kill him or God, kill her. That's not a righteous prayer. I know it's quiet in the house, but guess what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. If you're going through something in your marriage, if you're having a problem with your spouse, or if you're the spouse that's having the problem, okay, that's causing the problem, you have an opportunity tonight. We have an opportunity tonight to repent. Ask God to forgive us. Ask God to forgive our spouse. Ask God to help us to forgive our spouse. Ask God to help our spouse and to help us to see things the way he sees it. Okay? Sometimes we get so caught up in doctrine. We get so caught up in religious activities. We get so caught up in self. We don't have time to stop and listen to what God is saying. We don't have time to stop and listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit because we're so used to doing it our way. We're scared that if we let go of that piece of us, oh, we're not going to be the same. They're going to take advantage of me if I let go of this piece of me, if I let go of my heart interior. They're just going, my heart exterior, I'm sorry, they're going to treat me bad. If I have to be mean. I have to act like this. They don't love me anyway, so what's the difference? I have to act like this. And God is saying, no, you don't have to act like that. You submit to me first, and I'll show you how to submit to your spouse. You submit to me. You humble yourself before me, and I'll show you how to humble yourself before your spouse. It doesn't make you weak to be submissive. Hallelujah, glory to God. It doesn't make you a weak person to be respectful and submissive. No, it doesn't. What it makes you is an obedient child of the Most High God. It makes you an obedient child of the Most High God. When we submit to our spouse lovingly, no matter what they do, I'm not talking about if they're using you as a punching bag. Okay, because if they're using you as a punching bag, you need to find some safe shelter, okay? And you need to report that person for putting their hands on you, okay? Just because they go to church and they're preaching and they're doing this, that, and the third, as long as we let them keep doing what they're doing and okay, not saying anything, they're going to continue doing it. I'm not saying run to the church and put them on blast, but I'm saying if your spouse is hitting you, abusing you in that manner, and you got bumps and bruises and cuts and all these kind of things, take pictures and go to the police. Have your evidence. Because as long as we continue to let them do that to us, they're going to continue to do that to us. That's not God. Anytime a man or a woman is abusing their spouse physically and mentally, but I'm talking about physically right now, that is not God. God has never told us to put our hands on one another. He has never told us to violently put our hands on one another, no matter how angry we get. God has not told us to do that. That is not of God. If your spouse is beating on you, hitting on you, choking you, that is not from God. That's not from God. And at the same token, if a husband is not doing what he's supposed to do, for his wife, and he's verbally abusing his wife, or he's separating himself from his wife, he might not even be verbally abusing her, but he may have distanced himself from his wife, where they don't talk. They don't have compassion one for another. They don't touch each other. They don't kiss each other. They don't give each other compliments. That kind of stuff, too, that's not from God. So God says, okay, this is the spouse that I'm giving you, and you stand before me making a vow to love one another, and then I'm going to turn around and say, distance yourself from your spouse, don't love your spouse, beat your spouse, abuse your spouse verbally. Uh-uh. These things are not from God. These things are fleshly, and they're devilish. They're not from God. And if we take any part in any of the situations that I've described, if our spouse is abusing us and we start doing things to them that are abusive, we're just as guilty as they are. If we're tearing up their stuff and burning up their stuff like waiting to exhale, okay, if we're doing all those kind of things, to them. We're just as guilty as they are. Yes, we hurt. Yes, we cry. Yes, we shed many tears that people know nothing about. Yes, we put on a mask and we act like, oh, my gosh, everything's okay. But then we get scared to go home after the service is over. We get scared to go home. That's not of God. That's not of God. God didn't put us in a relationship for us to be fearful. He put us in these relationships so we can love one another, so we can love one another, not to cheat on one another, not to backbite about each other, not to curse each other out, not to hit each other, not all of this. That's not God. And if these are things that we are doing, we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us, and we need to ask God to heal us and deliver us. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes. I spoke to someone, and they said their spouse, before they got married, they, God sent you. God sent you. I know. And they could quote every scripture possible. God sent you. I know he sent you for me. I know he sent you for me. And as soon as they got married, I mean, within weeks, the marriage was over. Because Satan was given access. Satan was given access, and when Satan got access, when he got a foothold and he wasn't cast out, it became a stronghold. And then it became a stronghold, and then folks got blinded, and they could not see the will of God anymore. All they wanted to do was do what their flesh wanted them to do. And their flesh said, get away from your spouse. Leave. Your spouse is doing this and your spouse is doing that. And in reality, the spouse wasn't really doing that, but the one that's coming up with this jacked up stuff is the one that was really doing it. Some of us can't even, we got married and we really don't even know how to love. We say we love, but don't even really know how to love because we've been abused in our lives. All we want is somebody to love us. All we want is love. Men want love just as much as women want love. Men may not show it like women do, but men want love just like we do. But if we've been abused, if we've been rejected in our own lives somewhere along the way, it can be easy to reject your spouse. Well, I can't love you, spouse, because there's something wrong with you. You're crazy. You're not what I thought you would be. I thought that when we got married that you were going to be this and you were going to be that. See, we depend on each other so much to be what we need instead of depending on God. Woo! And then we want to throw it up in God's face like Eve did, like Adam did, I'm sorry, like Adam did, that woman that you gave me. The woman that you gave me. She gave me of the fruit, and I did partake of it. But it was the woman that you gave me, God. You gave me that woman. And that woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Even though you gave me the command, the woman that you gave me the fruit, and I did eat it. How's that? How's that to blame God, the woman that you gave me? Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. And Adam blamed God, the woman that you gave me. How many of us stood before a pastor, stood before the church congregation, stood before family and friends and made a vow? The Bible says it's better to not even make a vow than to make one and not keep it. We stood before God and said, yes, Do you promise to love and cherish? Do you promise to, some people's vows said, do you promise to obey? Nowadays, people are omitting that part in their vows. I ain't saying I'm going to obey. Do you promise to be with this person in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, for richer or for poor, till death do you part? Yeah, yeah, I do. As soon as the storm comes, I'm out of here. Where's my bag? I'm leaving. And it don't even have to be a situation where somebody's putting their hand on you. It could just be because they're not there for you. Like you think they should be for you, but you haven't even prayed for your spouse. You haven't even lovingly prayed for your spouse. Now you're looking at somebody else. So-and-so look good. I can't wait to get rid of this man. I'm going over there. I'm going to be with that person. But guess what? If you're not healed from your hurt, if you're not healed from the layers of pain that you've been dealing with and you leave your spouse that you have now and go to another one, you're going to experience some of the same problems that you had in your current marriage. You're going to experience the same problems. Why? Because everywhere you go, you're there. You can't divorce yourself from yourself. You're there everywhere you go. So if you didn't get healed in this relationship and you try to bounce to another relationship, it's going to be problems. If your spouse is abusing you, and your spouse is, if you're a woman and you see your husband at church, now he's, you know, everything in the church and they're lauding and applauding him, and then when you get home, you can't, your husband won't even pray with you. Your husband won't even read the word with you. That causes bitterness. That causes resentment. That causes anger. That causes things in a wife to sit back and look and be like, how could you? How are you out there trying to save the world? And here I am. You can't even minister to my need. You won't even read the Bible with or for me. You won't even pray with or for me. But you're out there in the church, apostle, bishop, pastor, evangelist, deacon, minister. You're taking all these classes to be this person in the church world, but at home, we're not praying together. We're not walking together in unity. We're not coming together for nothing but to argue. If the wife works outside of the home or the spouse works outside of the home, whenever that spouse get ready to come home, they know the time the spouse get ready to come. They be like, dang, it's time for them to come home, man. Man, let me find something else to do. Let me pretend like I'm asleep. Let me pretend like I'm sick. Let me go somewhere because I just don't want to be around them. That's bad. That's not from God. It's devilish, and God's not in it. But if you want to be healed tonight, I can promise you this. God is waiting to heal you. I can promise you that if you want to be healed tonight, God is waiting to heal you. But guess what? Don't say, but God, my wife this, but God, my husband that, but God. Mm-mm. God, I need you to heal me. Yes, my husband did XYZ or my wife did XYZ, but God, I need you to heal me. And while you're healing me, heal my spouse of whatever it is that's causing them to treat me this way. I sincerely come to you on behalf of my spouse because I do love my spouse, Lord. I really do. But he obviously needs a healing in this area because he seeks the attention from all the people in the church, and then when he comes home, he doesn't even know I exist. And truthfully, woman, if you're the pastor of the church and you're getting all the attention and you go home and you don't give your husband any attention, you need to ask God to forgive you. You need to ask God to heal you. God, why am I so caught up in the praise and the accolades of these people, but then when I go home, I don't even want to be with my husband? I don't even want to look at my husband. I don't even want to talk to my husband. I don't even want to deal with my husband. But I'm at the church and everybody's applauding me. I'm Bishop so-and-so. I'm Pastor Teresa so-and-so. I'm Evangelist Teresa so-and-so. I'm Apostle so-and-so. And I'm getting all the attention and the lauding and the applauding out there. But when I come home, if you would ask my husband today to give you a report of me as his wife, and if your husband, if somebody asked you today to give you a report about your husband, what would your husband say about you and what would you say about your husband? Would it be a glowing report? Would it be a report that you'd be like, I thought everything was cool with that marriage, but uh-oh. Would you be able to say that your person that you're married to is the same as they are in church as they are when they come home? Are they loving? Are they attentive? Do they pray for your needs? Are they concerned about you like they're concerned about the people? Well, you know what? I am supposed to be concerned about the people in church, but guess what? You're supposed to be concerned about the one that you have become one with. Oh, yeah, the one that you become one with. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to counsel with women. I'm supposed to be with women and tell them this. And your own marriage going to hell. Hmm. Well, so-and-so is on TV, and they have a big ministry, and we know that they've committed adultery, and they're out there doing this, that, and the third, but they still have a big ministry. Guess what? They're going to answer to God. They're going to answer to God. But that's not our concern. Our concern is we want to be holy before God. We want to be righteous before God. We want God to be pleased with whatever we do, according to his will. We want God to say to us, servant, thou good and what is that, thou good and faithful servant, well done, come on in and enter into your rest. We want him to say that. We don't want to go before him and have to hold our head down in shame. I know I don't. I want to be renewed in my mind. I want to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I want to walk in the holiness of Christ Jesus. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to be submissive to my husband. I want to tear down every wall that's been built up in my life because of abuse and rejection and neglect that I've had to deal with all of my life. I want God to come in and remove every stronghold, every root, everything that's inside of me that's keeping me tied to the past, that's keeping me tied to rejection, that's keeping these familiar spirits coming back to gain a hold on me. I want every one of them gone in the name of Jesus. Not just for me, for you, for whoever is going through whatever they're going through. The root of rejection, the root of bitterness, the root of anger, the root of fear, the root of whatever it is has to come. It has to be cut out, not covered up with dirt, cut out. The dirt needs to be pulled off of it and thrown away, and you need to get to the root and cut it out. Cut it out. Cut every bit of the root out so it doesn't grow back. But that's going to take reading the Word of God. That's going to take meditating the Word of God. That's going to take prayer. That's going to take fasting. It's going to take denying yourself. You know it takes denying yourself to be able to be submissive? You know it takes denying of yourself to be able to nourish and cherish somebody who you think is unnourishable and uncherishable? How dare we say that so-and-so is unlovable and uncherishable when we were stinking before God and he thought enough of us to send his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. How dare we think that, you know, somebody is unlovable and unnourishable, that we can't love them? How dare we think that that person is not good enough to be submitted to? How dare we? We are not God. We got a lot of repenting to do. We got a lot of confessing to do to God. We got a lot of healing that needs to be done. We got a lot of deliverance that needs to be done. Yes, we do, if we just be truthful. Amen. I believe we have Evangelist Holloman on the line, and I'm going to hit your microphone if you'd like to come in at this point. I don't know. Good evening. Is this Evangelist Holloman?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming in because I'm tired.
Amen. And where were you at in topic? I'm just coming on. You can continue and I can jump in whenever.
We were just basically talking about healing and deliverance in our marriages, and how the fivefold ministry marriages are suffering so much, how, you know, the pastor, whether it be the man or woman, you know, are in church and everything seems okay, but then when you get home, you know, there's a whole different person coming out. You know, there's a whole different person, and how spouses, the men, are not nourishing and cherishing their wives, you know, as Christ has said for us, for them to do, and how wives are not submitting to their husbands. We've already gone over abuse. If somebody's being physically abused, you need to get some help. You need to go somewhere and get into a safe environment so you don't have to deal with physical abuse. But we've been talking about verbal abuse and just the lack of obedience to God, because God tells us to submit to one another. He tells us to love one another. And, you know, we get high-minded and get proud and, you know, just allow things to come in, and we don't want to submit to what God says. We can't submit to God. How are we going to submit to these humans? We can't even submit to the Word of God.
Amen, amen, and praise God for tonight's conversation. And Father, I just give you praise, and I just pray that the words of my mouth, Father God, and meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, Father God, that something would be said out of the treasure that's inside this earthen vessel to bless those that are listening, Father God, and standing by, Father God. May your word, Father God, which is a living organism, Father God, find your way into the hearts and minds of your people, Father God, to deliver and set them free. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. And what you said, woman of God, is so very right. And a lot of times that people in ministry are having problems in their marriages, it all starts with submitting to the will of God.
Yes.
And if they're not submitting to the will of God, you know, first of all, it's going to be hard to submit to one another. You know, and the word submission is not an ugly word, but man have made it ugly because they have failed to bring God glory in submission. And even though we're married in the fivefold ministry, that doesn't give us the right to verbally abuse our spouses, whether it's male and male against the female or female against the male. You know, the Bible lets us know whatever you do unto the least of them, you do unto me. So we're going to be accountable for verbal abuse and physical abuse, whether we're in the fivefold ministry or not. And for those that are married and dealing with verbal abuse and physical abuse, and you're in a fivefold ministry, God have not called you to it. That is not his will. And we got to realize and acknowledge the word of God, first of all. He said we know the tree by the fruit it bears. And sometimes we fail to look at the fruit of the tree, which is the character of a person, and we hold on to the title and the position.
Uh-oh.
And we try to give honor to the title and a position that a person has not really earned. And even as we touched base before, in our homes should be our greatest witness.
Yes.
We can go out into the world, put on masks and cover up and act like everybody else. And, you know, we know how to do the right slang language of Christian talk. But it's in our home where we find out if we're really operating in the things of God. That's why God said, you know, we must learn how to rule our own house well first.
Yes.
And that's not to dominate and become a dictator, but to rule as an example.
Yes.
The word rule also means to be an example to your own household. And conducting your household in a decent way, and everything you're doing is to bring God glory.
Yes.
And so if a man or a woman, you know, in the cloth don't know how to rule their house, well, they're verbally abusing their wife, physically abusing their wife, then we have to wonder, you know, have they really received the grace of God in its fullness, or are they wolves in sheep clothing?
Uh-oh.
And we have to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to disrespect the man of God, but are they really a man of God, or are they a hypocrite? And you are the only one as a woman that may see their real character. And sometimes we say, oh, they can preach so good. And you see, the saints of God don't know the pastors for real. They just know that the pastor can preach, the pastor walk around and greet and meet. But it's the wives and the children that really know the character of the pastors and the leadership, you know what I'm saying, at home. You know, my question is, you know, if the kids was to give a testimony concerning the fivefold ministry of their children and not get in trouble, what would they really say? What would they really say? You know, would they be a witness that your character is godly, or they'll tell the truth? No, mommy cuss, daddy does this, daddy beats mommy, daddy drinks. I mean, this is the real you behind closed doors. And so when we're looking at domestic violence, even as Christians, and you're dealing with this, stop looking at the title, stop looking at the position, and begin to look at the fruit and the characteristics of that person and see if it's lining up with the word of God. Because if not, you may be sleeping with the enemy.
Uh-oh.
Because the enemy know the word of God just as well. Even when Jesus was tempted on the mount, you know, he started quoting the word of God right along with Jesus.
Mm-mm-mm.
But Jesus had to tell the enemy to get thee behind me. He began to operate in authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're dealing in this area, you know, when we do pray that God will give you strength to no longer look at the title and the position and begin to look at the character, that the enemy is in my house and he's destroying me, and not only is he destroying you, it's going to affect your children, especially if you got children and they're in the midst of it seeing this stuff go on.
Yeah.
And so you want to pay attention and get yourself out. The Bible says that the law is for the lawless. I don't care who it is, bishop, pastor, apostle, prophet. If they are lawless, the law is for them. If they are living according to the word of God, then the law is not for them. And then I know some people may say, well, the Bible said, take not a brother and sister into court. That's for minor issues. We don't want to take them to court for petty things. And we have church organizations, we have church boards, and if the church don't address these things, when the woman comes to the church and says, my husband is doing this, he may be a deacon, that means the leadership is supposed to do something about it. And if they don't, we are excused to go to the law, but we're not to go to the law if the church is able to handle it and deal with it. If something is set up that if a woman is married to a minister and the minister is beating them and they go to the head and say, this is what's going on, I want, you know, something to be done, the church is supposed to deal with it, that it won't get to the law, but they're supposed to handle it. We got our own law. This is not the will of God. You can't beat this woman. You're out of order. You're wrong. You need to step down or whatever it may be, but it's supposed to be handled. But we don't have it set up the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, where when the pastors are doing it, we can go to somebody and tell them what's going on, and we have men and women of God that's literally going to deal with them. And so women are left in captivity and in bondage, constantly going through this because they feel, well, we can't take our spouses to court because the Bible says don't take your brother into court. But if the church is not doing nothing, God is not ignorant concerning the enemy devices.
Not at all.
And domestic violence in the body of Christ is not the will of God. If that's the case, there is no need in us telling other women that's in domestic violence to come out.
That's right.
Pray your way out. Why are we going to tell them to pray their way out if it's okay in the house of God?
Mm.
They have nothing to pray their way out of.
My Lord. Horrible.
It's bad what's taking place in the body of Christ. But believe me, God is not asleep, and he's not slack concerning his promises. And you may ask yourself, well, why is God allowing this to go on? And it's not so much that God is allowing it to go on. It's we as women have to stand up and begin to make some decisions. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed or feel ashamed. Either which way, you're going to be embarrassed and ashamed. Just having a secret that you're getting beaten up by your husband and he's a pastor, or verbally abused and he's a pastor, and you seeing this double life, it's still going to be shame. Either you can be ashamed and free, or you're going to be ashamed and stay in bondage. But that's something you're going to have to come up with. And it's not God's will, first of all, for you to be in it. If you can get that part, number one, this is not God's will. So I'm in something that God would not have me to be in. And as I said to the woman of God, it's like God taking us, his daughters, his beautiful daughters, and dropping us off in the enemy camp and say, do what you want with them. And that is not the will nor the will of the heart of God. If that was fine with God, there was no need for him saving us from the world. If you're going to free us just to put us back in bondage again. So I'm encouraging those that are listening by way of radio, by way of the internet, begin to sit down and write some things down that you can look and see and identify, wait a minute, this is not of God. This is the character of the enemy. This man is of his father, the devil. Jesus even said that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Don't worry about how good they preach. If they don't want to do right by the word of God and submit to it, then the law is for you. You need to begin to document some things. If you have to record the violence, if you have to record the verbal abuse, begin to document some things that you can protect yourself. If you have to call the police and begin to let them know to document it down, you know, the man of God and who he say is, that when it gets to the ears of the church, they're going to say, well, they had nothing. She never called the police. How are we to believe it? You start standing up. But he's going to beat me even more, or he's going to verbally abuse me even more. He's going to do it anyway. If his spirit is not right, it's going to take place anyway. It don't even make no difference. But you can fight your way out. Or you can stay in and deal with it. And how do you deal with it? In silence. And the enemy wants you to stay in silence and be ashamed of and don't want to tell nobody what the pastor, what the deacon, what the elders may be doing. The Bible says, expose the works of darkness. That's what our Lord said. He said, expose it. We're not to become partakers of it. And even as husbands and wives, when we begin to cover each other up, to a certain extent, we cover each other, to a certain extent. But when it comes to just doing wrong and evil and wickedness, we are to expose the works of darkness. After so much of pleading, honey, this is not right. You got to stop this. You got to get right. We're reaching out for help. We're trying to do what's right. After a while, we find ourselves in it because now we done got stuck in it. We don't want to do anything. Sometimes your way out is to step out. Do something. Do something. Let the enemy know you're not going to hold me in prison and keep my mouth silent. It's a torturous thing to try to be in the house of God and hear a man of God that you love preach and teach the word and everybody loving him. And he's greeting everybody and smiling and cheesing. And then when you get home, you got to go through verbal abuse as though and if he hates you, can't stand you, don't even know you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let God lead you out. You know the tree by the fruit it bear. I never seen Jesus beating on none of his children. All the time he walked through the earth, he just didn't just go around beating on people. Our pastors and elders and stuff greater than he? No. Much is given. Much is required. What is required? Much holiness, much righteousness.
Yes.
Much is required of them to be an example.
Yes.
And if they don't know how to rule their own house well, he said, well.
Well.
How can they actually really lead the house of God? It's all a front.
All a front.
And you're not covering the man of God. You're covering the works of darkness.
My, my, my. Lord, have mercy. And that goes for if the woman's in leadership, too.
Yes.
If the leadership and she go home and act a fool too, it goes for both genders.
It goes both ways. The word of God have no respect to person. It's vice versa. Holiness is holiness. It's righteousness is righteousness. And we're in the last days. We're in the last days. We ain't got time. And that's why, you know, I even just got done doing a revival not long ago when the Lord had me declare everywhere I go that all backsliders haven't left the building. There are pastors who have backslidden their heart, prophets, teachers, evangelists, lay members. They have backslidden in their hearts. They're still in the church, but their hearts are so far from the will of God, it don't make no sense. They're just in the church. But as far as the things of God, they don't even care about righteousness and holiness, the presence of God, doing what God say, treating his daughters with respect. They have no, they don't even care. They're just having church or doing church, should I say.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to call, like we said, woman of God, a spade a spade.
Yes.
If you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. I don't care, male or female, and you're living double standards.
Yep.
I don't care how good you preach and teach the word of God. If you can't live it, you ain't doing nothing. Paul said, and Paul even talked about it, you know, he said at least he become a castaway after he preached the gospel and he himself become a castaway. There are some people that are preaching the gospel, but they themselves can become a castaway because they're not trying to live the word of God.
Yes, yes.
And so
the applause of man and God is not pleased.
So we want to look at the fruit and say, God, is this you? And when he say no, write it down. Father, is this the way you loving me through my husband? To verbally abuse me, to beat me, to make me feel low, to rob me of my self-esteem, to break me down, to destroy me from the inside out? Ask God, is that him? I'm pretty sure he's going to tell you no. And when he tell you no, then you must identify who is the destroyer, who's trying to destroy you from the inside out.
And I've been that person. And before you got on the air, and I was saying how, you know, there's things that have happened to me in my life, and people that have been with the program for a while know my testimony about abuse and rejection all of my life, and I became an abuser. I became, you know, what my husband, I wanted to tear him down. I wanted to make him look bad. Because I was hurting on the inside and needed to be healed. And, you know, the thing about it is people don't like to expose themselves. People, you know, it's easier to look at the other person. You know, well, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And that's probably true that they're not doing. But it still doesn't give us an excuse or an alibi or a reason why to act in the ways that we act, because God still won't hold us accountable for what we do, whether it's good or bad, whether it's good or bad. And we are supposed to be children of God. And, you know, whether our spouse is acting how we think they're supposed to act or whether or not they're acting according to the word, we have to act like children of God. And like you said, they're known by their fruit. So if I'm trying to tear my husband down, that's not from God. That's not from God at all. And like I said before, you know, we do like to pounce on the men, but we have women in leadership that act the same way that a man would act. And, you know, in the church, you all this on, you know, on Blog Talk Radio, you all this. You know what I'm saying? In a conference, you're all that. But when you get home, you know, if my husband or kids would decide to write something about me, what would they say? And vice versa. What I say about him, them. You know, what will we say? What will we be able to say and tell the truth?
Amen.
You know what I mean? It works both ways. And
yes,
until we admit that there is a problem, what are your chances of getting healed? What are your chances of getting delivered? What are your chances of really being set free if you don't admit that there's a problem? But even after you admit there's a problem, you still have to submit to the will of God. Let me say it this way. You should submit to the will of God. He gives us free will.
Mm-hmm.
So we can either submit to what he tells us or not. We can either submit to the word of God or not. But a lot of us don't want to submit, Evangelist Holloman, and a lot of us don't want to change. And some of us have these hard exteriors because we've been hurt so much, and we don't want anybody else to hurt us again.
And, okay. and I do understand that. And like you say, woman of God, thou art inexcusable, woman, whosoever you are.
Inexcusable.
That goes right back to the word of God. Inexcusable.
Yeah. But we hold on to hold on to those things as quote unquote valid reasons to react or, you know, retaliate and get vengeance or just do whatever we do. We hold on to those things. But how long can you hold on to the excuse that, well, I was rejected when I was little, I was abandoned, I was this, I was that, you know, and how long can we hold on to these excuses? I mean, God is God. He knows. He knows it all. But we can't even begin to submit to one another. We can't even submit to God. He's God.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, we should be, I heard somebody say this before, we should be outdoing each other, trying to love each other. You know, and I like what you said about the title. Forget about the title.
Forget
about the title. You know, I stood before God and said that I take this man to be my husband. I said that out my mouth. Nobody forced me to do it. Nobody coerced me. Nobody bribed me. I stood there and said, when the preacher said, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love and everything else, he said, I say, yes, I do. I said it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with my husband. Do you promise to love her and nourish her child? He stood there and he said, yes. So when we don't do what we stood before God and say, and said that we were going to do, we have become liars. Now, I said I was going to love this man and honor him, and he said he was going to do this and do that. And we're not doing it, we've become liars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody.
It's the truth.
It's the truth anyway. Okay? Now, we have the opportunity, as long as we still have breath in our bodies, to repent and turn away from our wicked ways. Because if it's not God, it's wicked. If it's not of God, it's wicked.
Amen.
All right? There's no wickedness in God. And he wants us to just come clean and because he knows anyway. So we're not fooling God at any time. See, God is never fooled. I don't care how well we preach, how well we have the, we can have the biggest conferences, whatever. God is never fooled on no day of the week. He's never fooled. You say he doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He knows everything. But he wants us to be healed. And a lot of us, whether we be men or women, we need to be healed. We need to just submit to God and say, God, I want you to heal me. I just really need you to heal me.
And that's for the abuser and the one that's being abused.
Yeah.
The twofold healing that must take place. But one thing, even concerning healing, is just like any AA, any drug group, you have to acknowledge the truth first. And though the truth may be ugly, a lot of people, that's the problem. The truth is so ugly, they can see it in somebody else. But to think that that ugliness is in me makes them reject it. But as once you acknowledge that the truth that you see in somebody else is also in you, it can, you can start dealing with the truth that you can be healed, that I've sinned against God by abusing the God that's in my wife. I've sinned against God by abusing the God that's in my husband.
Yeah.
You know, and we got to understand there's some things we're going to suffer for righteousness.
Right.
And that means, I'm giving an example, if you're in a relationship and you're in fornication and you decide you want to start living righteous and the boyfriend gets upset, get angry, and he cuss you out, but you're standing for righteousness, you're suffering for righteousness' sake because you're desiring to live right and righteous.
Right.
But we need to understand that there's a suffering that the enemy would bring to us. And I have heard where a mother told her daughter that was in a domestic violence relationship to just stay in there. Just stay in there. Just stay in there. Just stay in there. and she's not living the day because she stayed in there. And
my
she
Lord.
Stayed in there. And she stayed in there. And so as we speak to the male and the female that may be the abuser or the abusee, whichever which one, you want to begin to seek the counsel of God.
Yes.
That you can prepare to come out of this thing. And we're most likely talking to those that's in the body of Christ because it's going on all over the world. But because we're Christians, it's really more want to be on the hush-hush.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody want to say nothing. And the devil wanted to remain a secret that he can kill you like a gangrene from the inside out. You're already dying from
mm-hmm.
the inside out because of the abuse and the verbal abuse, and that's male or female. It's already tearing you apart. There's already someone's already thinking about suicide being the only way out,
mm-hmm.
and that's not the will of God either. There is another way out. If you can just know that if you face the shame of this thing, that God is going to be with you. And sometimes you think the only way out is suicide, but that is not it. That's just the victory of the enemy saying, I succeeded in what I was out, what I planned to do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take your life. Your life is valuable to God. You know God got a plan for you. You heard God speak to you concerning the call that's on your life. I know man have made you felt that God can't use a woman in the whole nine yards, but all throughout the Bible, God have used women to save nations. To save nations. If the woman can carry the word of God, which is Mary carrying, if she can carry the word of God, surely she can speak it.
My Lord.
Don't let the enemy snuff your life out because you feel that there is no way out of this thing because your husband is a great man of God or your wife is a great woman of God and you don't want to tell nobody. You begin to document. You begin to fight back the way you know how to fight back. And I'm not even talking about a fist fighting and start cussing and fighting back with them. No, you begin to use the wisdom and the counsel of God. That you have, if you have to record, this is past that everybody see. Oh, he's beautiful, light shining upon him. And I'll record him at home that when things come to a head, you can see that I'm not making this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Before we step foot in the door of the house, is a whole other person walking in this house than walked in that church. Though you can't see, God can. Like the woman of God just said, we can't fool God. Man can be food, and sometimes man ain't food. We just fail to pay attention to the small warnings that God show us,
mm-hmm.
even concerning people in ministry. Sometimes we can see things in pastors and leadership, and we fail to, just let it roll off, but God is trying to show us something.
Right.
So I know you think he's probably hiding it and hiding it very well, but somebody has picked up on something and see something. They just don't know exactly what it is. Something's not right. I just can't put my finger on it. They can see, you can tell when a wife is timid. At times when a man of God look at a wife a certain way and they clamor up, we know something's going on.
Uh-huh.
So it's manifesting. So you just got to be strong and ask God for wisdom on how to come out of this thing. But it's not the will of God. And not saying that the man or woman of God can be stuck there. If they can acknowledge their sins, God said, if my people will humble themselves, God can heal them.
Yeah.
God can heal and deliver and make them whole. But if they're not willing to acknowledge they got a problem and see this thing, sometimes it may be very well just demonic. Some of y'all just living with demonic spirits. Husband's fully possessed, ain't got the Holy Ghost. There is a copycat spirit that even speak in tongues in the whole nine yard nowadays.
My Lord.
You think they filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, that's why his name is Holy. He has the power to make you live holy. How you going to have the Holy Ghost, but you can't manifest no holiness?
Jesus. No holy.
His name carry weight by itself. We as the people of God just have to be more wise. He said be gentle as a dove, but wise as a serpent to identify.
Yes.
We can't fall in love with titles anymore. We can't fall in love with positions anymore. We got to ask God to expose everything about a person way before we say I do.
My.
Because if I'm saying I do to an illusion. And then when the illusion fades off, and now you got a man that you thought you were marrying, but now Satan like, I'm in now. I had a young lady married a man within 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Come to find out he was strung out in the whole, I mean, just living like the devil, and came to me and asked me to counsel. I said, I can't counsel strangers. You don't know him, and he don't even know you. How I'm going to counsel? God said, don't put your hands on it.
My Lord.
Don't put your hands on it. We'll pay you. I'm not hard up for no money. I cannot touch it. When we're jumping in a rush to marry strangers that we don't know because they got a title or a position. God love us as his daughters and his sons. And we can ask God to expose God. Don't let me fall in this trap. Help me to guard my heart that I don't fall in love and my emotions super exceed my intelligence to the point where I'll see the warning signs, but my emotions say, oh, but I'm just in love. No, let my intelligence say, oh, guard your heart. You see that right there? You see that wrath that just came out of him? There's more to it, that we can be wise to see these things. And I'm speaking to someone specifically. You identify with some of the things that I'm saying that God tried to show you and warn you. People encourage you, are you marrying a minister, a man of God, and the whole nine yards, but they couldn't see. And now it's like, if I expose and tell this thing, it's embarrassing. Listen, it's going to be embarrassing once they find out anyway.
Lord, that might be Jesus.
But I pray that God bring about a mental and emotional escape for you first.
Yes.
That your mind will be free and your emotions will be free. That you can begin to see the way God see. And if I was God and I sit high and look low and I see my baby being constantly abused and dogged out and hurt and going through, and it's not my will. But he has given us power and authority, and he's given us common sense. Get out. This is not of me. But, Lord, the pastor said, if I marry, I got to stay in it. Listen, we can stay married. I ain't talking about no divorce. I'm talking about get out of the danger zone.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't talking about divorce. We just talking about getting to safety, coming out of the chaos, coming out of the wiles of the enemy. I know it's got to be hard, mind torturing. Never know when you get home, what's going to happen, when the argument going to start, or when the fight going to start. It's heavy. Jesus have mercy. Jesus have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy.
Yeah.
And somebody, your mother have picked this thing up in the spirit already. And though you're trying to hide it, your mother have picked this thing up in the spirit already, that something's just not right with my baby. Something's going on. I know you say you all right, but she knows something's going on. Jesus, have mercy.
Cool.
But woman of God, I do thank you. But God is concerned about his daughters and his sons. He is concerned. And it's not his will. It's not his will. And just put everything on the scales and see if they be found weighed in the balance. And you will know if it's of God or not. And then you know, God, I got to get from out of this mess, because this is not your plan for me. Now, can he use all of this for his good? Sure, he can use it. Some people say God did this to get your attention, or God did this to give you a testimony. The devil is a liar. He can get your attention a better way than somebody beating you upside your head.
know,
and
that's
right.
It can
give you a better testimony than somebody almost killing you or totally breaking you down to the point you can't get up in your soul.
Right.
Psalms 23 talks about the Lord, you know, lead me beside the still water to restore my soul. He's the one that restores your soul to bring you out the place of Lodabar, down in your spirit.
Uh-oh, she said
when your soul is down, though you know God, it's hard to trust him. David had to speak to his own soul and said, oh, soul, why art thou so cast down? He had to remember that God is my help.
Yes.
And when
yes.
you've been in a place for so long, your faith, you lose faith.
Mm-hmm.
Though you still know the word, your faith becomes doormat. And faith
yes.
without works is totally dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what God will have you at, my brothers and my sisters.
Yes,
that's
yes.
not what God will have you at.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to restore your soul. Restore my soul, Lord. Restore my soul, Lord. Restore my soul, Lord. That's your will, your emotion, and your intellect. Because it's like you're in prison, but yet not locked up behind walls.
Yeah, right.
And that's not the plan of God. I'll say it again. See the truth for what it is. See the man, the woman of God for who they are. Push the title aside. Push the position aside.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, everybody's taking on titles and positions. That don't mean nothing.
You know that.
Push it all aside. And begin to look at the fruit that they're bearing. He said, if the root be good, the fruit be good.
Mm-hmm.
If that root is rotten, the fruit ain't gonna be no good. I don't care how good they preach. I don't care how many people love him or love her. Her mouth is filthy once she leaves the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Still watching pornography. Still doing all of this stuff. That's not the plan of God for us to suffer. Not like that. Go ahead, woman of God.
I really don't. Honey, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you've been quiet. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
Not really. It was a wonderful program. I learned a lot from it.
Amen. He's not usually this quiet, but
I've been drifting in out there.
this program is just, I believe that God is going to use this program even in the archives for people to really to just get healing and get set free.
Amen.
Emotional bondages and, you know, things of that nature. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I'm preaching to myself, teaching to myself. I'm talking to Teresa. I'm first partaker of any program that we have here, and I don't want to find myself to be a castaway. I want, you know, for God to be able to heal every area in my life.
Amen.
Every area in my life.
Amen.
And I don't want him to just heal me. I want him to heal my husband. I want him to heal everybody that's listening that's going through anything. And I'm not saying that, you know, because my husband's not an abuser. And I have to make that known, that my husband is not an abuser. This program is not about my husband. My husband is not an abuser. So it's not about him. You know, people sometimes get things twisted. But it's not about my husband being an abuser. But is abuse going on in the body of Christ, and people are preaching and teaching and not taking care of what's going on at home. And there's just so many things that need to take place. People need to be healed. People really need to be healed. And it's too many people going home crying. It's too many people, like you said, you kept saying suicide. That's not the answer. So many people want to kill themselves. I've been to the point where I wanted to kill myself. I was just too scared to do it. I just didn't want to face God. And he said, well, why you take your life that I gave you? I didn't want to, you know, I was too scared to do it. So I didn't go that route. But there's people out there who have succeeded because they didn't know who to talk to. They didn't trust God anymore because they've been going through the situation for so long. You know, they and people might not have, you know, committed suicide, but people are cutting themselves. People are drinking, you know, closet drinkers, you know, closet drinkers, you know, on all this psychotropic medication just so they don't have to feel the pain, don't want to feel the pain. I've screamed out to God and said, God, I'm tired of feeling this pain, like, all of my life. I'm 48 years old. I've been feeling pain all of my life and in some way, shape, or form, you know, and I had to cry out to God. And I had to tell God, Evangelist Holloman.
Amen.
I had to tell God, I don't trust you. I actually said, I said, God, I don't trust you. I said that I had no men in my life that I could trust. Every man that was in my life let me down, or either they let the woman dominate them or whatever the case was. I said, God, I don't even know how to trust you. I had to say, I had actually had to say that out loud to God. He already knew my heart, but I had to confess it. Like, God,
yes,
I don't, are you serious? I don't even know where to begin to trust you. I had to say that. And when
and he teaches.
Yes, it was a release, though. It was a release. Because I kept trying to go past that. I kept trying to fake it past that, and I couldn't get past that. And I had to say to God, you know what, sometimes I feel like, you know, you treat me like my natural daddy did. My natural daddy left me. You know, he wasn't there for me. I don't feel like you are either. Not trying to disrespect God, but that's how I felt, and I needed to, God, I needed to feel like he was my father. I needed to understand him as being my father. My heavenly father, my spiritual father. And I had to get down like that in order to get what I needed to get from him. He understood all of that. It wasn't in disrespect. It was, God, I can't trust nobody in my life, and I really feel like I can't trust you.
And he understand.
You know, and I really had to, and I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry that I said that. I'm sorry, but this is how I feel. And I'm telling you, he just, when God begins to speak to you and he begins to, you know, to do things for you that only he can do, and you know there is a difference. You know there is a difference, and it's like, wow. And it don't have to be lightning striking or, you know, anything like that. Just him speaking to you in a still, small voice.
Amen.
If you're at that point where you're ready to receive your healing, if you're at that point where you're ready to receive, but like you said, we got to humble ourselves. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way.
And I will even say, I don't know how many listeners that are listening by way of blog radio, on the internet or on the phone, and there are even some you married out of the will of God. You heard God say no. But once again, you let your emotions supersede your intelligence, and you disobeyed anyway. And I believe, you know, sometimes we need to go to God and repent. Father, I did hear you, and I apologize, you know, for getting involved when you told me not to. Even the children of Israel had to repent for marrying and joining themselves with the wrong nation and come out. And come out. You know, listen, disobedience is disobedience, sin is sin, and for God to listen, come out of it, we just got to come out of it no matter what it is. No matter what it is, he's a wise God.
Yes, he is.
He is a wise God. He's a wise God. And
very wise.
Over and over again, he loves us. And as we repent and as we turn from sins, whatever it may be, he always lets us know there are some things in this walk that he tells us to take off, put on, come out of, separate. He gives us some instructions to do. And if we follow the wisdom and the instructions of the Lord, he'll lead us right out of Egypt.
Yes, yes.
Right out of situations that we walked ourselves into. no matter what it is, that we just have to listen to that still small voice, as
mm-hmm.
my sister said, and let God lead us. And when
yeah.
he do send a Moses, or if he send a Moses to bring you out, follow the ways of the Lord.
Gerald.
Follow the way of the Lord.
Oh, bless the Lord.
What was that?
Oh, that was my husband.
Oh, that's all right. Tell brother sleep on. He really he rested. Amen. Let him rest, Lord. Hallelujah. Tell him to turn on the left side. God, we give you praise.
Yes, Lord, we give you praises. We are at the end of the broadcast right now, thank God. And I think this was an excellent broadcast, and I do thank God for it. And we do have it in the archives. And, you know, Lord willing, whenever he says so, we're going to have you back on the broadcast, Evangelist Holloman, but we want you on, excuse me, for the entire broadcast. So whatever the Lord gives you to give us.
Amen.
And hear the word of God, because we just, the body of Christ is a lot of healing that needs to take place. And, you know, whatever the Lord has to say, I want him to say it. So
amen.
We have about a minute and, 30 seconds left in this broadcast. And I just thank God for everybody who tuned in the chat room and on the phone lines. And please, if you are listening and you know anybody who's going through a situation, abuse in their marriage or whatever the case is, please refer them to this broadcast so that they can hear this. Because
amen.
When the evangelist said that somebody's mother, she knows you're going through, she just don't know exactly what it is yet, that's for real. That's for real. It's not my mom, because my mom's not here anymore. But somebody, that's for real. So somebody needs to hear this. Pass this on to your friends, your family, or to whomever you benefit from listening to this program. Amen. And if the Lord says the same, we'll be on Friday at 5 o'clock. But I'm going to be in prayer and see what God says about having you back on a broadcast, Evangelist Holloman. And we only have seconds left, so I'm going to say, Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done. God bless you all. We love you, and thank you so much. And Evangelist Holloman, I will be calling you.
Amen. And for those that's listening, if you need to contact me, hit me up on Facebook. If you need one-on-one counseling or to talk to someone, I'll make myself available.
Amen. God bless you. And
amen.
Her name
God bless you too.
Holloman, Lisa, H-O-L-L-O-M as in Mary, A-N, Lisa Holloman, Evangelist Lisa Holloman on Facebook. Amen. God bless you. Everybody have a good day. Amen. I'm going to just play this. If it'll play. It won't even play.